This is the situation that existed in Arabia when Mohammed came onto the scene. And we are now discussing a period of time approximately 650 years after the Khurban of the second Beis HaMikdash. Mohammed himself was a person who led the caravans. He was the leader of the caravan. He was the wife of one of the people, of a woman, a wealthier woman, who was the owner of these caravans. And he himself was an uneducated person. And we're basing our sources of information upon secular historical sources, all of the information that we're now going to mention about Mohammed. According to everything that could possibly we could see, Mohammed himself was a person who could not read and he could not write. But at night, when the caravans used to come to a stop, or sometimes perhaps during the day, people would sit around in the campfires and they would tell over stories. Amongst the people that were there were Jewish people. There were also people, goyim, that were there. And they used to tell over stories, and he used to listen to the different stories. The stories that they would tell over, the Yidden would tell over stories from the Chumash. They would tell over stories from the Medrash that they thought would be interesting for the people. And the same way, Lahavdil, the goyim that were there, also used to tell over their types of stories. And he sat, he soaked it all up. He wasn't, once again, able to write it down because he wasn't able to write. But he tried as best as he could to commit to memory the different stories that were told to him. It would seem that this person was an epileptic, and from time to time he had seizures. And when he went through these seizures, so people were frightful, what is going on? He said that not to be afraid. When these seizures are going on, actually what's happening is that he is then in touch with the Malach Gavriel. And the Malach Gavriel appeared to him and told him that he has a mission in life. And that mission is to teach the Arabs the concept of monotheism, or the concept that there is a Borei Olam. Now, he based this concept on all that he heard from all of the people that he listened to through all of the, as you mentioned, as he was sitting around listening to everybody's stories. And somehow he either convinced himself, or at least that's what he tried to convince everybody else of, that now something was revealed to him by this Malach. And it is his job in order to pass on what was taught to him to all of the Arabs. What he was teaching was, first of all, that without a doubt, there was Maimet Har Sinai, there was a Kabbalah Satera, because as the Kuzari mentions, that this is something that was undeniable by anybody, because there was Shishim Ribui that were there, Bishas Maimet Har Sinai, so that was factual. But he then claimed that Tulila, now things have changed. But what we need to understand, which we will soon explain, but we need to understand is that the religion that he taught to the people that were all around him was a monotheistic religion. No idols, no saints. People were responsible for their own deeds, responsible for themselves. He told people that they have to pray, and if they are going to be good people, so then they are going to be rewarded. Till this point, he said, it was the Jews that were the chosen people. But from this point on, anybody could qualify, so to say, as the chosen people. It was his job to teach the Arabs, and it was Arabs' job to teach the rest of the world that anybody could become the one of the chosen people. Now, He discussed the issue that people have to share their wealth with the poor. Everybody has to see to it to take care of everybody else. And he taught them, I guess, what we would call social justice. People should live in peace. There shouldn't be such a thing of people stealing from each other. People shouldn't murder each other. Take care of the poor. Share the wealth with the poor. deal with each other in justice and compassion, with equality. And so, as you could well imagine, the poor people that were living there, so they were attracted to all of his teachings, because after all, they were the ones that were looked down on and ultimately persecuted by the wealthier people. So when he came and he taught about these changes and how society should exist in Arabia and in the world, as he taught, so of course they were more than willing to listen to him. At the same time, we can understand that the wealthier people that were living in the city of Mecca, so they looked at it as, this is seeds of a revolution. You want us to share our wealth with the poor. We don't want to share our wealth with the poor. You want to make everybody equal. Well, we don't want to make everybody equal. We want that the wealth should remain with the wealthy people. So therefore, he was looked down on by the wealthy people. The question that Mohammed had to deal with, which was, how come it was that the Arabs were given this job in order to educate the world? Well, that was the first question. And then the second question he had that he had to deal with was, how come he was given the job to educate the Arabs? So as far as the first issue of why it is that the Arabs were the ones that were given this job of educating the world, so what he told the people was, is that originally the plan was, and we're talking about originally, we mean at the time of Avraham Avinu, it was Yishmael, not Yitzchak, Chas v'Shalom, that was chosen to be the leader of the people. And he taught that the Akedah, of course, which was Akedas Yitzchak, so he says it wasn't Akedas Yitzchak, it was Akedas Yishmael. And he said that the reason why you find in the Torah Akedas Yitzchak is because he said that Chalidu the Eden were Mezayif, what it says in the Torah. They falsified the words that are said in the Torah. They took out Yishmael and they put in Yitzchak. He also said that the Kaaba that we mentioned before, this stone that the Arabs had a tradition was placed there by the Malach Gavriel, he says it's not so. The stone was placed there by Avraham Avinu, and this was supposed to be a center. Avraham Avinu wanted that this would be a center point where all the Arabs should come together and to come to pray. They even had a holiday to celebrate the Be'er that Hagar found in the Midbar that saved the life of Yishmael. And so he said that except for those issues, which he accused the Eden of changing, he said that everything that is said in the Torah was the Chemis, and all of the prophets, all of the Nevi'im that came after Kabbalah Satayah, that says Al Chemis, he said that everything, Chalila, that you have from the Christians is also Emes, Yeshu is also Emes, everything is Emes, but he's after everybody. And therefore he now has the new teaching, and he now is coming after everybody and telling everybody exactly the way it's really supposed to be. Once again, he was not able to write by himself, so he gave over different people to write down all the things that he was teaching. And what he gave over was what he remembered from what people told him over, as we mentioned, from time to time when he heard all the different stories. So he gave the different people to write them down. This caused a problem. The problem that it caused was, is first of all, he didn't always remember so well exactly what he was taught. For instance, when he told over the story about the Eden that were going out of Mitzrayim, and the Melech then was Pare, so he had Haman living in that time also. Obviously what happened was, he mixed it together with the Haman that we have in the time of Esther a long time later. Well, he didn't remember it so straight. And so therefore he said that Haman was living in the time of Pari, and we'll get back to discuss this. And he gave over once again for different people to write it down. And because of that, there were many different versions of what he told the people to write down. Perhaps because from time to time he told people different things to write down, or perhaps different people, when they wrote it down differently. But once again, there were different versions of the books that that he gave over for the people to write down. And he said, with these writings, with these teachings, with his influence, he is going to go and to convert the world. The first converts were his wife and his relatives, and then the second converts, as we mentioned before, were the poor people. But the rich people drove him out of the city of Mecca, because again, they were afraid that he's making a revolution. From the city of Mecca, he went to the city of Medina. And there he taught his new religion, but he also taught his social reforms of everybody living in peace together. Now, people accepted what he taught, for sure the social reforms. The people that believed then in the Avodah Zarah, so they were ripe to take on a new belief, because throughout the world, people were converting, were going away from the belief in the Avodah Zarah. So now in Arabia also, people were ripe to hear the concept that the Avodah Zarah were false. So many of the Goyim took on the teachings that he taught as far as his belief is concerned. But of course, the Eden that were living in Northern Arabia, as you mentioned, there were some towns in Northern Arabia that had some people living there, so they didn't accept what he taught. He wanted desperately to get the Jews to believe in what he taught also. And so therefore, he tried to portray that what he was teaching was a so-called form of Judaism. He had everybody praying Friday night. He had everybody praying on Yom Kippur. He had everybody praying towards Yerushalayim. But of course, you could understand that the Eden that were living there refused to accept what he was teaching. And it's not really necessary for us to go through all of the steps of why they refused it, but just to understand it, the Jews refused Kaidim Kol because Nevuah was bottled already 1,000 years ago. For 1,000 years there wasn't a Navi, and this person now is a Navi. Besides that, the Rambam says what a Navi is supposed to be like. Chacham, a Gibor, all of the different milos that a Navi is supposed to have. Well, he didn't have any of these milos. And on top of it all, he's Chavachven Agoy. So how could anybody even think that such a person could be a Navi? And besides that, when it came to the issue that he mentioned, the different facts that he had in the Torah, B'negeya to Akedas Yishmoel, or B'negeya to, we mentioned, having Haman living in the time of Paray. So the Eden said, obviously, you're a person that doesn't even know what it says in the Torah. You have it all wrong. There were other issues also, in Egeya, to mixing up Shaul and Gidoin. There were many different examples of things that he didn't have in the Torah. Well, when Yishmael heard when Mohammed heard what they were saying about him, that he confused everything that was found in the Torah, he said that the Eden were mezayif, what it said in the Torah. They changed the things that were found in the Torah solely because they wanted him to look foolish. That's why they did it. They made him look like a fool. They took Haman out of Paray and they put him someplace else. Or they changed the different people in order to make him look like a fool. And what's interesting is that the Rambam in Igeres Teman, which Yemirat Hashem will discuss more at length later on, discusses this. And he tackles this issue. He says the Yidden were Mezayif, the Torah. First of all, he says at the time of the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Eden was spread throughout the known world at that time. To be Mezayif the Torah, one would have to go to every different place where Eden were living to be Mezayif the Torah. People coming into a shul, listening to what it said in the Torah. But last year it was Yishmael, this year it's Yitzchak. How could it be? And even if you could convince people in one town, but how are you going to convince the thousands and millions of Eden that were living in all different towns in the world? And when they all come together, the Torahs are exactly the same. And of course, the same thing is true, B'negeya to Haman, and B'negeya to all of the other different mistakes that he had. Torah was spread too far, that is impossible to be Mezayif it. And besides that, the Rambam says, the Torah hundreds of years before was translated into the Greek. The Goyim already had the Torah. Now Rambam is of course referring to the time at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash when the Torah was translated by the Goyim into Greek. So it wasn't even in our hands anymore. It was in the hands of the Goyim also. And of course we can understand that when it came to the issue, Yidden looked at him and they said, Kabbalah's HaTorah was given him over in front of Shishim Ribui, and that was only from the Zecharim. But when we talk about the amount of people that were there, obviously there were millions. So how could it be that now somebody is going to change what is said in the Torah, whispered into the ear of this man who is highly not qualified, and he's saying that everything is changing? That is ridiculous. Well, he got very upset with the Eden. And he said as follows, he says, you're going to be punished in the next world. Well, I guess that's a statement he can always make. But he also said that he's going to see to it personally that they're going to be punished in this world. And so from there on, Mohammed went and he started his campaign and he killed out, Rahman al-Islam, the three towns where the Yidden were living. And this was the first case that we have of the cruelty, the achzorias that Mohammed and his people had towards the Eden. Living there in the city of Medina, as you mentioned, the poor people gathered around him. How did they survive? How did they live? Well, there were caravans of people who didn't believe in what he taught. So he says, well, the people, you can't rob and steal from yourselves, amongst yourselves, because we're all believers. But for the people that are non-believers, so from these people you're allowed to steal from. And so the caravans that had people that were non-believers, so from there he was able to steal, and from there they were able to kill the people that ran those caravans, again, because they were non-believers. And by doing that, he gathered together for himself wealth and power and prestige. He united all of his people, and he himself admits that he used tactics where we could just say were not such sportsman type of tactics, lying and cheating, fooling people into lowering their guard and therefore being able to conquer them. And eventually, after he built up an army of people, he went back to the city of Mecca. And approximately in our numbers, in the Goyish numbers, 622, went back to the city of Mecca, took over the city of Mecca, destroyed the idols that were standing around the Kaaba, around that holy place that they had, taught the Arabs that they were the chosen people. They were always the chosen people. They didn't know this, but they are the chosen people, and that they have a job to see to it to spread the religion throughout the world. And once again, he taught the people that although you have to take care of each other financially, but from the non-believers, from them you could take taxes, you could tax them, and from them you could even do all kinds of things in order to see to support yourself. As far as the Arabs themselves were concerned, between themselves they should live in peace, and once again they should see to it to share the wealth amongst themselves.